the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, April the 19th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. A contentious farm bill heads to the U.S. House for debate. Also on the rundown, gaps cited in protections for small business employees and nonprofit volunteers. Plus some warning signs that increased youth activism may not correspond to voter turnout. First, our top story, the New York Times reporting that President Donald Trump declared Wednesday he would scrap a planned summit meeting with North Korean's leader Kim Jong-un and even walk out of a session while it was underway if his diplomatic overture was not headed toward success. The Times notes that Trump's words reinforced his decision to send CIA Director Mike Pompeo on a secret trip to meet with Mr. Kim. Pompeo has been nominated by Trump to be Secretary of State. It's a nomination that is meeting with some resistance in the U.S. Senate. The 2018 Farm Bill now headed to the House floor in Washington after Wednesday's approval by the GOP-controlled House Agriculture Committee on a party-line vote. Ross Brown tells us what's at stake.
In addition to requiring new work and job requirements from those who receive food stamps, sustainable farming advocates say the bitterly contested bill would eliminate programs that help farmers get their products to market and undermine successful investments that have helped create more resilient farms. Policy Director for the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, Greg Fogel, says the current farm bill is more extreme than other farm bills in attacking sustainable agricultural programs.
There's definitely a certain vision behind this farm bill, and it's not one that puts small and mid-sized farms or diversified agriculture or organic agriculture, beginning farmers, or the environment front and center.
The Agriculture Committee is asking Congress to vote on the farm bill by early May.
And word from West Virginia and Dan Hyman that a group of miners has put forward a plan for a state black lung program. Hyman tells us it could solve problems in the federal system that are now stopping miners from getting benefits.
80% of the funds in the federal black lung program goes to doctors, lawyers, judges, and bureaucrats, according to Charles Hawkeye Dixon with the UMWA local in Matewan. Dixon says he helped write the state proposal because it's difficult to see miners struggle in the federal system dominated by coal companies and their hired professionals.
Somewhere between sickening and just pure frustration, we have miners who have died, been autopsies performed, showing that they're eat up with black lung, have never qualified for a monthly benefit.
Industry lawyers argue the complex medical and legal hurdles are needed to weed out undeserving applicants. Dixon says rather than making minors prove total disability, as is now the case, their program would assume a minor has black lung after 10 years of exposure. A bill outlining the proposal led the legislature to call for an interim study.
Supporters say the state plan could be funded by taxing rising forms of energy, including wind, solar, and gas. And in the growing awareness of harassment in the workplace, Stephanie Carson reports many workers across the country may not realize they are not protected by Title VII of the Civil Rights Act.
The federal law protects against employment discrimination on the basis of sex, race, color, national origin, and religion, but there are exemptions. Kristen Colleran learned about them the hard way after she says she was harassed while serving on the board of a nonprofit organization. When she tried to take legal action under Title VII, she found that, as a volunteer for a nonprofit, she wasn't protected.
Well, what was shocking is that this was happening in the midst of the Me Too movement. But yes, I think that sometimes, I guess, things happen at a certain time for a certain reason. So, you know, maybe this was supposed to happen in order to start the spark or ignite the change into increasing protection.
Companies with less than 15 employees also are exempt from Title VII regulations.
On the same day that power was once again knocked out to most of the island nation of Puerto Rico, San Juan Mayor Carmen Yulín Cruz Soto was awarded the Ridenour Prize for truth-telling.
You know, you can't have a thriving economy. You don't have political power, you don't have economic power, but if you don't have the power of grit.
The awards are given in honor of Rod Ridenour, the soldier-turned-reporter who uncovered the massacre of civilians at My Lai during the Vietnam War. This year marks 50 years since the My Lai massacre. And finally, Tramell Gomes reports the 8 young Floridians suing Governor Rick Scott and the Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam are riding a wave of youth activism with multiple press conferences focused on the environment. But that wave may not crest in terms of youth turnout for the midterms.
The students are suing the state for what they say is a violation of their constitutional rights to a healthy climate. Along with the post-Parkland gun debate, this is the second case this year in which a group of students is lobbying the government for change. Oscar Sykes is a 20-year-old college freshman and one of the plaintiffs in the case. He says he's confident movements like this are making a difference.
I think that this case has every reason that it could win, and I'm really excited about that because young people are starting to hold their governments accountable, and that's just really exciting.
But despite Sykes's optimism, supervisors of elections in six of the state's seven major counties have reported seeing a drop in youth voter registration compared with 2014.
According to the United States Elections Project at the University of Florida, as many as two-thirds of younger voters are forecast to sit out the midterm elections. I'm Mike Clifford, and you're Newsin' and Cruisin' with Public News Service. Member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.